scripture reading this morning is found in the book of Psalms, Psalm 119, verses 1 through 24. Psalm 119, longest chapter in the entire Bible, and the first 24 verses. This psalm is a poem, of course. It's written so that in Hebrew you have parts of 8 verses each, and each verse in each part begins with the same letter of the Hebrew alphabet. So Psalm 119 verses 1 through 24. Blessed are the undefiled in the way, who walk in the law of the Lord. Blessed are those who keep his testimonies, who seek him with the whole heart. They also do no iniquity. They walk in his ways. You have commanded us to keep your precepts diligently. Oh, that my ways were directed to keep your statutes. Then I would not be ashamed when I look into all your commandments. I will praise you with uprightness of heart when I learn your righteous judgments. Oh, keep your statutes. Oh, do not forsake me utterly. How can a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed according to your word. With my whole heart I have sought you. Oh, let me not wander from your commandments. Your word I have hidden in my heart, that I might not sin against you. Blessed are you, O Lord, teach me your statutes. With my lips I have declared all the judgments of your mouth. I have rejoiced in the way of your testimonies, as much as in all riches. I will meditate on your precepts and contemplate your ways. I will delight myself in your statutes. I will not forget your word. Deal bountifully with your servant, that I may live and keep your word. Open my eyes that I may see wondrous things from your law. I am a stranger in the earth. Do not hide your commandments from me. My soul breaks with longing for your judgments at all times. You rebuke the proud, the cursed who stray from your commandments. Remove from me reproach and contempt, for I have kept your testimonies. Princes also sit and speak against me, but your servant meditates on your statutes. Your testimonies are my delight and my counsels. We pray God to bless the reading of his holy word. Our text this morning is found in the chapter that we read, Psalm 119, verse 1. Blessed are the undefiled in the way, who walk in the law of the Lord. We hear it said often that people want to be happy. People want, above all things, so they say, to have a happy life, to enjoy life. But of course we ask the question, well, what does that mean? How is it possible to be happy? And the psalmist here begins, blessed. And the idea of blessedness in the Bible includes the idea of being truly happy. Truly happy, we might render it, are the undefiled in the way, those who walk according to the word of God. The psalmist says he knows the answer to happiness is the Bible. The answer to happiness is found in the Holy Scriptures. Hear God, listen to God, follow his word. That's the answer, he says. It's straightforward. The trouble isn't the word, it's us. It's mankind, it's people. The psalmist speaks first of all of what he looks at, the walk of those who walk in the way of the Lord. Then he speaks of the word, the thing that guides the way. And finally he prays that the Lord would guide his ways. the walk, the word, then, and the ways. He begins with the walk, who are the truly happy ones. And no doubt the psalmist has observed many people. He speaks of princes. He's observed those in power, those who the world looks at and says they are the great, they are the mighty, they are the ones that we would like to be. The wealthy, the powerful. He's seen them. But he says they are not the truly happy. If they don't have the word of God, they are not the truly happy. The proud are the cursed, who stray from the commandments. The famous, well, how often we see newspaper reports about how miserable famous people are, and we are often, at least for anything like me, tempted to say, well, why are they so miserable? And the answer is that they're trying to find God or good in all the wrong places. Happiness, said the psalmist, happiness is found by walking in the way of God's word. Not by walking in our own ways, not walking in the ways of the world, in the way of the wicked, but in walking in the way of God. In fact, to our psalmist, holiness and happiness are always joined. They are different things, but they are together always. The more holy, the more happy, he says. The more like God in your character, the more happy you will be, for you live in God's world. Happiness is found in holiness, and holiness is found in walking in the way of righteousness, in, to use the title of an old book by Horatius Bonner, God's Way of Holiness, God's Path, the Lord of the Lord. Now, our psalmist has many words he uses, 8 different words he uses for the Word of God. And he always speaks of the Word of God as that which brings blessing, which brings happiness, which leads us and guides us. Holiness, he says, that brings happiness. And holiness is the opposite of sin. Sin ultimately only brings unhappiness. Yes, there are the pleasures of sin. Moses, we are told in the Bible, refused to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, partly because he recognized they are just for a season. It's only for a time that there is any pleasure in going against God. Only for a time that people enjoy self-indulgence. But always those pleasures pale and fade. Fading is the worldling's pleasure, all his boasted pomp and show. Solid joys and lasting treasure only Zion's children know. So says John Newton. And how then are the holy? How is it they are happy? Well, they are happy, first of all, because they are free. They are not slaves to sin. Whoever commits sin, Jesus says, is the slave of sin. Whoever you yield yourself to obey, says Paul, he is your master, whether it is sin or God. And the holy are those who are free from slavery to sin. Now, all of us, we all in many things fall short. We all in many things offend. All of us fall short of God's glory. But oh, we strive toward it. The Christian is known not for being sinless, but for fighting against sin in this world. We struggle, we fight, we resist sin. The ungodly don't know any struggles against sin. They give in to it. But the Christian is struggling and fighting, knowing that there is that remaining sin within which is to be put to death. They are free from slavery to sin, and instead are fighting against it. But also they are free from shame. Oh, that my ways were directed to keep your statutes, then I would not be ashamed when I look into all your commandments. They look at the Bible, and there are no passages that they wish weren't there. No commandments they wish were not present. And so there is no shame when they look at the law of God and say, oh, indeed we cannot say, all these I have kept perfectly. But the Christian says, all these I strive to keep. And the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, says John. And the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. We look, and yes, we see the guilt within. But upward I look, says the hymn writer, and see him there, Christ, who made an end to all my sin. I look into the Word of God, I look into the law of God, and I see the happy man, the happiest man is the Lord Jesus Christ, the man who never sinned. But I see also, the scriptures tell me, that there is another happy man, the man whose sin is forgiven, the man who is pardoned. Oh, the blessedness. Oh, the blessedness. Blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord does not impute iniquity, and in whose spirit there is no deceit. There is the blessed man who is pardoned, who is forgiven his sins, who is not ashamed. And at the same time, he is the man who is striving against sin. The pardon of God, the grace of God, teaches us to deny ungodliness and worldly lusts. That's what the grace of God teaches us to do. That's what the Bible tells us. They are blessed. They have peace with God. Those who keep his word, who listen to it. And so we come to the word, God's word. It's notable in this long psalm. Every verse mentions the word of God. Every single verse. There is nothing in here, no verse that does not speak of the word of God. And our psalmist uses these eight words for them. He speaks of precepts, of testimonies, of statutes, of the word. He speaks of the commandments, of the law, of the sayings that God has given. Because to him, there are some people who look at this word and this psalm and they say, well, doesn't it just say the same thing over and over and over again? Is there not a monotony about it? The psalmist would say, no, there's a wonderful variety in the law of God, a wonderful variety in the word. There is so much in the Bible. It is called the law. Now the word law, Torah, instruction. It teaches us. It teaches us to deny ungodliness. It teaches us the right way that we should go. The word of God enlightens us. It is a lamp, a light. It is righteous. It tells us what is right. There are so many uses in this word. And in this word is everything that we need in life. Everything we need to be Christians is found in the Bible. There's nothing that we need to be Christians that is not in the Bible. All Scripture, says Paul, is given by inspiration of God, and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. Everything we need. We don't need to go running off after other things, whether they be visions from heaven, whether they be popes or modern day prophets or whatever. All that we need is in the Bible. All that God has spoken to us for our needs is here. What more can he say than to you he hath said, you who unto Jesus for refuge have fled? What more can he say? And it is God's word. You will notice that when he speaks about the word, the psalmist always says, your. It is your word. It is the word of God, the word, the law of the Lord. God and his word can never be separated. You cannot divide God from the Bible. You can't take the Bible and take God apart from it. So you cannot have God without his word. You cannot have God's word without God. It is impossible to separate God and the Bible, because it's what he has spoken. All Scripture is inspired, is given by inspiration of God. That is what he has spoken. And you, if you said to a man, well, you know, I value you, I value you as a person, but I'm not going to listen to a word you say. You would, well, you're saying, I don't respect you, I don't value you at all. So if somebody says, well, I respect God, but I'm not going to listen to his word, you've got to say, well, that person's a liar. Nor is the word ever there apart from God. It is God's word. It is the sword of the Spirit. God uses it. When we hear the word, we are hearing God. Somebody has said, do you want to hear the word of God? Open your Bible. Do you want to hear it audibly? Read aloud. Read the Bible aloud if you want to hear audibly the word of God, the voice of God. For God knows and guides. And we are called to listen to him, to hear him. The psalmist longs to learn better, to hear better. All these things which God has spoken, his testimonies, his word, his ways. We listen to him if we listen to the Bible. If we listen to something else above the Bible, we are silencing the word of God, not listening to God. But this is God's word, God's law, God's guidance. God has spoken. He has spoken to us. And there are those who say, well, we must listen to Jesus. Absolutely. But where do we find the words of Jesus? In the Bible. There are no words of Jesus that we know outside the Bible. So we cannot separate him from what he has spoken. This is my beloved son, God says, hear him. And we hear him speaking in the Holy Scriptures. Open the Gospels. Read the words that Jesus spoke. And it is as if you are transported back to that time, that day and age. And they are as fresh today as they were when they were spoken. Why? Because they are the word of God. The living word. Indeed, the ungodly find nothing in the Bible to value. They love to find things to attack. But you open the Scriptures and read them. And you find that this is not some mere rehearsal of superstition, but these are words of wisdom, words of life, words that the Holy Spirit teaches. And those who are taught of the Holy Spirit receive that word. And so we come to the psalmist's prayer. He prays that his ways might be directed to keep God's statutes. The Bible to him is not something that is burdensome, but something, well, the only burden related to it is when he says, I find that there is a law in my members that when I want to do good, there's also a desire not to. There's a conflict within. But he says, my prayer, the prayer of the Christian is this, oh, that my ways were directed to keep your statutes. My prayer is that the voice of wickedness would grow less and less, and the voice of the Spirit guiding, saying, this is the way, walk in it, that voice would be the voice that fills my heart, fills my ears, fills my mind. Oh, to hear his word and do it. Oh, that my ways were directed. He doesn't say, oh, that I would direct my ways. Because he knows there's that conflict within. Oh, Lord, I do not trust myself. Lord, deliver me, as the great man of old prayed. Lord, deliver me from that wicked man myself. Oh, that my ways were directed by the Holy Spirit. Oh, that God would lead me in his way of righteousness, even for his own name's sake. Oh, good shepherd, lead us in that path. Because that is the way of life. That is the way of joy. Those who leave the path pierce themselves through with many sorrows. A Christian must always confess that those times when I have most yielded to the voice of God, most walked in his ways, they have been the most joyful, the most blessed days. And those days when I have most struggled and resisted that voice of God, that word, they have been the most difficult and trying. And there is in each of us a time, there are times when we look into the word of God and we are ashamed. We remember days past when we walked in the wrong way, when we didn't listen to God but we went some other way. And all the remembrance of them is grievous unto us. But so we are led to pray the more, Lord, lead thou me on. Guide me, O thou great Jehovah. Pilgrim through this barren land, I am weak, but thou art mighty. Lead me with thy mighty hand. All the grace of God is needed for us. And it is a marvelous thing when God's word comes back and says to you, when you have cried out in your weakness, my grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. We rest on him, our own great weakness feeling. For indeed every Christian must say, by the grace of God I am what I am, though I am not yet what I long to be. The psalmist looks, he says, blessed are the undefiled in the way who walk in the law of the Lord. Oh, how wonderful it would be to be that perfect Christian who always listens to the word of God, who always does what God has said, who always follows the Lamb, the Lord Jesus Christ, wherever he goes. But oh, how far from that is my sinful heart. But oh, that my ways were directed to keep your statutes. He falls down on his knees, as it were, and pleads with God, prays to God. I will praise you with uprightness of heart when I learn your righteous judgments. I will keep your statutes, not by my own strength, but by your strength and your might, O God. Oh, do not forsake me utterly. Oh, there are times when God, for his own purposes and reasons, allows us to feel him afar off, where it seems that God has left us, and we, like Job, are left groaning, oh, that I knew where I might find him. But, oh, God does not truly leave his people. He'll never forsake his people utterly. There are times, indeed, when we are lifted up in our own hearts, that he seems to leave us, that we may learn our own weakness and learn to depend more on him and less on ourselves. There are times of trial where we do not understand what is going on, but he will never leave his people utterly. For what has he said? I will never leave you. I will never leave you, nor will I forsake you. What has Jesus said? Lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. He makes us feel our weakness that we may know his strength. He makes us feel our sinfulness that we may know his forgiveness the more, that we may recognize how glorious that pardon for sin is. And how wonderful the Lord Jesus Christ's death. There is only one man who ever was undefiled in the way, who always walked in the way in the law of the Lord, who ever blessed his testimonies and who sought him with the whole heart, and that is Jesus Christ. Every one of us must confess our hearts are so often divided. Our hearts are set upon the Lord here, on something else over there. But the Lord Jesus Christ, his heart was never divided in any way. Always he walked in that way. And oh, the wonderful thing is, he did not do it for himself, but for us. He did not do it to condemn us, but he did it that we through him might be saved. For he kept the law in every part for us, and then died on the cross, shedding his blood as though he had broken the law. The soul that sins, it shall die, says the law. Jesus had never sinned, therefore he was never under the power of death naturally, but he chose to die. He put himself under that power. He died for sinners. God made him to be sin who knew no sin, so that we might be made the righteousness of God in him, so that we might, by the Holy Spirit, walk in his ways, keep his statutes, hear his word, praise him with uprightness of heart, learn his righteous judgments, so that we might be, by the grace of God, those who are happy, who rejoice in the Lord Jesus Christ, in God's strength made perfect in our weakness. How are we to be happy? By listening to the word of God, by hearing and walking in his ways. For holiness is the way of happiness, the way of joy, for it is the way of peace. The way to be happy in Jesus is indeed to know that peace with God that he is established by his blood. And God's word shows us what holiness is. God speaks to us, and we must say, "Speak, Lord, for your servant hears." And so let us seek his face. For as we read the word, it shows us our true condition, our true need. It shows us that we need him. And let us pray. Let the prayer of the psalmist be our prayer. All that my ways were directed to keep your statutes. All that the Lord would guide us still. All that the Lord would teach us, that we might show forth his grace, his holiness, that we might glorify him. May the Lord Jesus Christ grant us this praying heart that prays to be conformed to his image, that we may receive all blessings and the joy of our Lord.